Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Welcome everyone. Hope everyone is okay and happy in Krishna consciousness. Well, we actually started yesterday a little seminar titled Lessons from the Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. It's an interesting seminar which I've actually done many times in different places here and there. And even bits and pieces I've presented here in Port Elizabeth before, but just in a more general way. So, last night we started despite the weather, and we'll carry on this evening. Shri Gaunatai Ki. So we'll carry on, and tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, we'll continue on with this little seminar. It's interesting because we go through different pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, and they're always very nice and very interesting. And it's also nice because we learn some lessons. Lord Chaitanya came to teach us how to be devotees. He acted as a devotee himself and demonstrated how it is meant to be done. Normally when the Lord appears, he acts, or often, or normally even, he acts in very, very extraordinary ways. Lifting Govardhan Hill, killing demons like Ravan, great monsters and incredible personalities, and doing very extraordinary things, which in many, many cases are so far, so out of the ordinary, that only the most foolish person could think that maybe he's an ordinary person, perhaps something like that. But when he does these very extraordinary things, then the people understand that He is definitely superhuman, superhuman, and ultimately, if they're really intelligent, they understand he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Lord Chaitanya was here, he also sometimes did some superhuman things, but that was generally, it wasn't very often. And when it was, then more often than not, it was in the company of the other devotees. Not so much like openly in front of the people in general. And there's a reason that in this Kali Yuga, people are not very humble. We may have noticed that. People are prone to be proud and think they're more important than they really are, and to try to imitate. If there's someone who is more important, they may try to imitate. Like I remember when I was young, when I was actually sort of like, oh, what would it have been? 12 or 13. Then the Beatles came out. I think we've all heard of the Beatles. And they, oh, they were very interesting in different ways, but in this particular regard that I'm thinking of, they were Hare Krishna, welcome. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, please make yourselves comfortable. There's seats there if you prefer, or whatever. Hare Krishna. We last met in Mayapur. So, oh yes, the Beatles. Well, in this regard, the interesting thing about them was they had long hair. And up until that point, in the Western world at least, for men to have long hair was just not known at all. It was just, no one had thought about it. All the men had short hair, very short hair. But now the Beatles came with long hair. And they were extremely popular. And before you knew it, within 6 months, or say 6 months, all the young men, the teenagers and early 20s, they all had long hair. Just about every single one. It was just amazing. So my point is that people are prone to imitate. If someone comes who's very prominent and becomes very well known, then many people will imitate such a person. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya, when he came, he didn't show so openly that he was God, because if he had, then many people would have wanted to imitate and tried to somehow become accepted as God themselves. Even it's going on, actually. There are people who are trying to do that. I think we've heard of a number of such people. But if Lord Chaitanya had displayed the fact that he was God more publicly than he did, then I think there would be a lot more now who would be claiming their God and competing with each other in this way. Yes. So, Lord Chaitanya, at least one reason for his acting as a devotee was that he knew that, well, of course he knew he'd become very prominent, and then he knew people would imitate him. Therefore, he acted as a devotee so that when people would imitate him, they would become devotees instead of imitation so-called gods. They would become devotees. And this has happened, at least in India. So many people became devotees because they were actually imitating Lord Chaitanya. So it was good in that sense. Of course, in another sense, it wasn't so good, in that Lord Chaitanya, he was the topmost devotee, exhibiting the topmost symptoms of advanced, very advanced Krishna consciousness and pure love of God. And some of these people following on after him, they tried to imitate those symptoms, not just being a devotee, but they tried to imitate being a very advanced devotee. And of course, none of them, I mean, unless they actually became very advanced, which is not so common, those who simply imitated that, that's not so good. But just to imitate in a general sense, to be a devotee and chant the holy names, that's good. Then many actually became devotees. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said that imitation of a good thing is good. Yes. Even though it may just be imitation. But if it's a good thing, then that's good. Because you do something good. Okay. So there are many lessons in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. There are many lessons. And tonight we're going to discuss a particular pastime or a particular personality. And he had interactions with a number of people. And there are different pastimes in the course of these interactions. And this is really very instructive. This whole sequence is really very instructive and very relevant, I think, to all of us in one way or another. So this is the story of a devotee, or person at least, sort of a devotee. His name was Ramachandra Puri. Have you heard of Ramachandra Puri? You heard the name? Have you heard about Ramachandra Puri? No? Okay, that's all right. So let us explain a little bit about him. Well, basically, Ramachandra Puri, he was a devotee initially. He was initiated by a spiritual master who was actually a very great devotee. But he offended his spiritual master, whereas there was another disciple of the same spiritual master who served that spiritual master extremely nicely, and he got great mercy as a result. So this Ramachandra Puri, though, he offended his spiritual master, and he was very mundane in his consciousness, actually. And this led to further offenses, which led to further offenses, and in the end he just messed himself up completely. Although he didn't know that. He thought he was doing great. That's the nature of a conditioned soul, to be proud. And even if they do something wrong, then the propensity, at least oftentimes, is that they'll try to minimize what they have done wrong as if it wasn't really wrong, not such a big thing. And in that way they won't be able to learn from it, and they won't be able to deal with it, and it'll sort of hang over them into the future, rather than put it behind, you know, deal with it, overcome it, move forward and leave it all behind. So it happens like that people, they can't deal with certain defects they have. They can't take responsibility for them and work on them and overcome them. But rather they minimize, oh, it's not so important, don't worry about it. But then it just hangs around them. It hangs around them into the future and affects them and affects their lives. So this is what happened with Ramachandra Puri. He just went from one disaster to another. But every time he could not understand that, oh, I made a big mistake, I must not do that again. Every time he thought, oh, it's all right. And then he did the same thing. So he was just, many offenses he committed. Okay, so that's by way of introduction. Let us just recite a mantra to start. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna. So this is now from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Leela, Chapter 8. If you want to read through it perhaps in your own time. So now the main lesson, there is a verse here. It is that chapter 8, verse 32. And it encapsulates the main lesson, really, from this whole narration about Ramachandra Puri. So chapter 8, verse 32. Mahad anugraha nigrahera sakshi dui jane. E dui dware shikaila jaga jane. Ishvara Puri received the blessing of Madhavendra Puri, whereas Ramachandra Puri received a rebuke from him. Therefore, these two persons, Ishvara Puri and Ramachandra Puri, are examples of the objects of a great personality's benediction and punishment. Madhavendra Puri instructed the entire world by presenting these two examples. So, the spiritual master, we mentioned there's this very great devotee, spiritual master, and then there are the two disciples. So the spiritual master, his name was Madhavendra Puri. Then there was this Ramachandra Puri, who we've mentioned, who was really proud, and he just messed things up very badly, committed offenses, including against his spiritual master. Then there was the very good disciple. His name was Ishvara Puri. So, of course, all three of them are Puris. We hope this will not confuse anyone. Madhavendra is the spiritual master. Ramachandra is the bad disciple. And Ishvara is the good disciple. Try, remember that. Right, so Ishvara Puri, the good disciple, he got the blessings of his spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri, but Ramachandra Puri offended him. And they both reaped results, different results, very different results. Yeah. So, in that Antya Leela chapter 8, there's a whole description in detail of the background to all these things and how it all unfolded. But what happened was, initially, we have this great devotee, Madhavendra Puri. He is a very amazing devotee. He was sent by Lord Chaitanya, even perhaps two generations before Lord Chaitanya. perhaps 50 or 60 years, something like that, before Lord Chaitanya appeared, this great devotee Madhavendra Puri appeared, sent by Lord Chaitanya to set the scene and just begin getting things into motion for when the Lord appeared, because when he appeared he wanted things to be ready so he would really do some extremely important things. So Madhavendra Puri was the first person who was sent perhaps two generations before to really just get things rolling. Madhavendra Puri, as we say, he was sent, means he is a resident of the kingdom of God. He is not just a conditioned soul like ourselves who somehow managed to advance and become successful in Krishna consciousness and become a pure devotee and become prominent in that way, that he actually descended from the kingdom of God. And it is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita who he is in the kingdom of God. And he is a very interesting person in the kingdom of God. Do you know who he is? In the kingdom of God, Madhavendra Puri, his eternal role, situation, personality is, would you believe, he is a wish-fulfilling tree. Now we might think, wait a minute. Here he's a person, human being. There he's a tree. So didn't he come, you know, many steps higher by when he came here, because he was in human form? But the answer to that is no. No. Don't underestimate the trees in the kingdom of God. Don't underestimate anyone, or so to speak, anything in the kingdom of God. Because in the kingdom of God, there is no such thing as inert matter. Everything is alive. Means there is no thing, in other words. Because thing means just some inanimate object. But in the kingdom of God, there is no such thing as a thing. Everything is alive. Fully conscious. And what to speak of the trees, even the rocks are completely alive, and their consciousness, their intelligence, and their capabilities are way beyond us. Way beyond. Just completely beyond us. Yes. Like Hare Krishna. Many of us have heard of Hanuman, of course. Hanuman is also from the kingdom of God. But when Hanuman descends into this world, he doesn't take another form. He descends as himself, in his regular form, his eternal form from the kingdom of God. And he is a monkey. He is a monkey. And some people, when they hear that we have great respect for this monkey, Hanuman, then some people, when they hear that, they think, oh, we are very strange. You know, how can you take a monkey seriously? Because probably we've all encountered some monkeys at some point. And, you know, they're not really to be taken very seriously. But here we have a monkey. And he is so intelligent. He can talk. And he can talk in pure, perfect Sanskrit. I think there's no one sitting in this room who can speak in perfect Sanskrit. But he converses, that is his language. That's how he expresses himself. So and in general, he's immensely intelligent, very incredible personality. So similarly, Madhavendra Puri, he is a wish-fulfilling tree in the kingdom of God. And he can do as he likes. He can move, he can speak. He's fully conscious. Yes. He's not just some tree just standing there, alive, but restricted in so many ways. So, when he descended to this world as Madhavendra Puri, then he displayed that fact, how extremely advanced he was, immensely intelligent, and qualified in so many ways, in every way, by spreading Krishna consciousness all over India. And many great, great personalities accepted him as their spiritual master. Just as examples, Advaita Acharya is a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And Advaita Acharya, well, he was the leader of the next generation of devotees. Before Lord Chaitanya. He's one generation older than Lord Chaitanya. But he's a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. Lord Nityananda is what we call a Siksha disciple of Madhavendra Puri. He was not initiated by him. He was initiated by someone called Lakshmipati Tirtha. But he took shelter of the instructions of Madhavendra Puri very deeply indeed. In fact, when they met Lord Nityananda and Madhavendra Puri, it's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat, they sort of recognized each other, even though they hadn't met in those particular forms, but they recognized each other spiritually. And they embraced for hours and hours and hours. Anyway, and there were others. There were many others. So Madhavendra Puri was the most prominent devotee of that generation of his time. And among his disciples were Ramachandra Puri and Ishvara Puri. So what happened was that eventually Madhavendra Puri, he became old. And eventually he came to the point where he was about to pass away, to leave his body. Eventually that happened. And he became just in the period, just shortish period before he finally passed away, he became bedridden and incapacitated. So, there were disciples all over India and the news spread, and so many, they would come to see him to pay their last respects and get some last instructions. So Ishvara Puri came and Ramachandra Puri came, they both came. So, Ishvara Puri, when he came, he saw, there's my spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri. He is bedridden. He cannot do anything practically for himself any longer. So Ishvara Puri, he thought, he is my spiritual master. I must serve him and do everything. He's done so much for me. I must now, particularly at this point, I must now also do everything for him. So Ishvarapuri then became the personal assistant of Madhavendrapuri, and he was literally doing everything. Changing his clothes, bathing him, and even, because Madhavendrapuri couldn't stand up, Ishvarapuri would even clean up his stool and urine with his own hands and clean everything, clean Madhavendrapuri's body and so on, take care of all these things in absolutely the most intimate details. So, you know, obviously a person generally, if they have to look after someone who's in that condition, they're not going to think that this is very nice. You know, nurses have to do this with their seriously incapacitated patients, but it's not like they feel they're having a great time, like it's fun or anything like that. You know, they do it because it's their work, they have to. But in this case, Ishvarapuri, he was doing all these things to assist his spiritual master at this final point in his life. But being immersed in this mood of service to the spiritual master and being willing to do anything for him, he was actually in great spiritual ecstasy. He was not thinking, why do I have to do this? It's so dirty and ugh, don't like it. No, he was extremely happy. And while he was doing all these things all day, he was chanting and singing songs about Krishna and just in great ecstasy and creating very pleasant atmosphere. So Madhavendrapuri, seeing how nicely Ishvarapuri was doing this, he became very pleased. So he blessed Ishvarapuri, that may you become a great devotee and a great lover of God. As a result of that blessing, that mercy from Madhavendrapuri, from his spiritual master, as a result of rendering that wonderful service, Ishvarapuri became transformed. Already he was a very nice devotee, but he became transformed into just an outstanding devotee. Truly outstanding devotee. In fact, he was so outstanding that when he met Lord Chaitanya was so impressed. He was struck so deeply by Ishvarapuri that Lord Chaitanya became inspired. I must accept this Ishvarapuri as my spiritual master. So Lord Chaitanya is the initiated disciple of Ishvarapuri. As a result of this mercy and his very nice service to his spiritual master, then Ishvarapuri got so much mercy, he became the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya. So that was Ishvarapuri. But now this Ramachandrapuri, oh, sorry to say, he didn't really make it. He also came though, he came when, at the same time, when Madhavendrapuri was just in the process of leaving this world. And he also thought, he's my spiritual master, I should do something. But what? What to do? So now, Madhavendrapuri, he was such a great devotee, actually resident of the kingdom of God. And he was totally absorbed in pure Krishna consciousness. And he was in the mood of separation from Krishna. This is the mood of Lord Chaitanya, actually. That here I am, I'm in the material world, I'm separated from Krishna, and, you know, when we're separated from people we are very, very fond of, then we feel that very deeply. So he felt it very deeply. I am separated from Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya's devotional service was all in that mood. I'm separated from Krishna. Somehow or other I have to get back to Krishna. So Madhavendra Puri was in the same type of mood. And in that mood, he would recite one verse, which later Lord Chaitanya, in the same mood, also recited. So this verse is, I forget the verse number, but it's also in that same chapter if you want to find it. Very beautiful verse. It's said to have originally been spoken by Radharani when she was separated from Krishna. Ai dina dayadranath hai maturanatha kadavalokyase hridayam twad aloka kataram dayata brahmyati kim karom yaham. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? This is the mood of separation from Krishna. So Madhavendra Puri, he would, particularly as he was passing away, in a mood of extreme humility, in separation, he was regularly just crying out this verse, in that mood of separation, that, oh, my life is coming to an end, and I'm separated from Krishna, what to do? He was already with Krishna, but that was his mood, humble mood. So now this Ramachandra Puri came then, and there was the spiritual master Madhavendra Puri in this mood of separation, deeply felt emotions of separation. And but Ramachandra Puri, he couldn't appreciate that. Ishvara Puri, the good disciple, he was appreciating so much. And he was in such a mood of reverence and affection for his spiritual master, seeing his exalted Krishna consciousness. But Ramachandra Puri, he was very proud. He thought he was very important, well-educated, intelligent, and qualified. And his heart was hard, actually. Or quite hard, at least. So when he saw there is Madhavendra Puri lamenting, sometimes crying, and speaking this prayer and other similar prayers, Ramachandra Puri thought, why? Why is he so emotional? He should try and fix himself spiritually and become detached from his emotion. He's going to die. He should be fixed and not in some sort of emotional state. He didn't understand those are pure spiritual emotions. So Ramachandra Puri thought, I know. I will serve my spiritual master. I know how I will do it. I will give him some good advice. So he went to his spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri. And he told him, you know, quite strongly, why are you lamenting like this? You shouldn't be so emotional. You must control your mind and your emotions. And you must fix your mind on Brahman. Brahman means the impersonal spiritual nature. Yes. Which is lower than the personal nature of the Supreme Lord. In other words, you should become an impersonalist, a Mayavadi, something like that. So when Madhavendra Puri heard that, he was too shocked and disgusted. And so he told Ramachandra, he told him, you get out of here. Get away from me with your impersonal Mayavad nonsense. You get away, leave me alone. And he told him, if I see you, if I see your face when I die, I don't know where I'll go. So you get away. And Ramachandra Puri, he went away, he went away. But he was not thinking, oh, my spiritual master chastised me. Oh, I should learn from this. I should correct myself. He didn't think like that. He was thinking, I gave him some good advice, and he didn't appreciate it. Oh, that's very bad. What sort of spiritual master is he? Naughty spiritual master. You mustn't speak to me like that. This is how he felt. So, it is one of the important duties of the spiritual master to correct the disciple when necessary, and even sometimes to do it a little strongly, particularly if the disciple is really doing something he really shouldn't do and just doesn't understand it, then the spiritual master may really sort of shake him up a bit. Give him some strong instruction to clear his mind and wake him up. Yes. So, Prabhupada talked about this. This is one lecture, I'll read a few lines from it. Prabhupada quotes one verse. Putram cha shishyam cha tadayen natu lalayet. So, this is Prabhupada speaking. So father and teacher are advised by Chanakya Pandit, this is Chanakya Pandit, that you should always chastise your son and disciple. Putra means son, shishya means disciple. Na tu lalayet. Lalayet. Lala. Lala means my dear one. Patting on the head. Lala, lali. Yes. The term of endearment. Na tu lalayet. Anyway, I'll just read on what Prabhupada says. You should always chastise your son and disciple. Chastise. Tadayat. Tadayat means simply chastise. Always find out mistake. Don't be angry, but it is the business of the teacher and the father simply to find out your mistakes, not to find out your good things. Tadayen na tu lalayet. Lalayet means patting. Oh, my dear son, my dear boy, you are so nice. You have done so well. Sometimes it is done, but it is the business of the teacher and the father to chastise. Never recognize the disciple's business or son's business as very good. Then they will spoil. That is the injunction of Chanakya Pandit. If you simply pat, then there'll be so many faults. And if you chastise, oh, they'll be very much qualified. So watch out. Yes. The son and the disciple. Interesting. You know, I actually have one disciple, you may know him. Madan Mohan from Ermelo. He has two sons and a daughter. And the daughter, well, now she's sort of going up a bit, but I remember she was about 5 or 6. But, you know, a Krishna conscious child. And one night, the three of them, father, mother, and the daughter, they were listening to this very lecture of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada's saying, you must chastise the son and disciple. A few days later, she, the daughter, did something wrong, apparently. And the father chastised her. And she's only like 5 or 6. She said, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Don't you remember what Prabhupada said? Prabhupada said, you can chastise Hare Krishna, your son or your disciple. I am your daughter, so you cannot chastise me. And he was caught. Couldn't say anything. Son and disciple. So the father's not meant to chastise the daughter. But the spiritual master can chastise the female disciple. So watch out. And Prabhupada, and you know, if this happens to us, if or when it happens to us, then we should not become resentful like Ramachandra Puri did and think, oh, why did he speak like that? What I did wasn't very bad. He didn't deserve chastising. Shouldn't think like that. Prabhupada told a story of his own experience with his own spiritual master. You may have heard that story. That Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was giving a class, and there was a whole assembly, something like this, but I think there were more people. He was giving a class, and Prabhupada was right at the back. And right next to him was one elderly gentleman who was hard of hearing. Not deaf, but sort of halfway there. And this elderly man was trying to listen, but he was right at the back. And he couldn't always catch it. So from time to time, he would turn to Prabhupada and say, what did he say? And Prabhupada would turn to him and say what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had said. And after this happened a few times, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta decided that, you know, he had to correct this. This is not right. It was causing a little disturbance there at the back. So, right in the middle of the lecture, he stopped and he pointed to Prabhupada and said, you, Babu. And Prabhupada realized, oh, he means me. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, would you like to come here and speak? Would you like to give the lecture? So, you know, very nicely, but clearly, in front of everyone, And, you know, you can imagine the excuse expert. There are some people, they're experts in excuses. They can never take responsibility and say, yes, I'm sorry, won't do it again. But they are always, they've got some answer. But, oh, this and that and something else. And so you can imagine such a person thinking, why is he speaking to me? I'm listening. I'm trying to help this other devotee. Why should he chastise me? Why doesn't he chastise the other devotee? But Srila Prabhupada didn't take it like that. And, you know, you could even imagine Prabhupada, a spiritual master, he might not want to tell this story to his disciples because, you know, it may make him look a little silly in front of his own disciples. But he told this story to his disciples. And Prabhupada said that afterwards, from time to time, naturally, he would remember this incident. And he felt that he had received special mercy. And Prabhupada said that, I treasured that experience. Yeah. So this is a very interesting point. But anyway, as we said, Ramachandrapuri, he was not the humble, submissive disciple. He already had an inflated idea of his own importance. What Prabhupada called becoming puffed up. Becoming puffed up. We all know, little balloon, when it's in its sort of original state, little piece of plastic. You huff and puff. It becomes puffed out, and then it looks like it's big. Some of them may look very big even. So the balloon may think, look at me. I am very big and important. But it's all hot air. It's just puffed up. And sooner or later, you know, either the air will just come out, or someone will go with a, take a pin and just go pop. And then again, there is this little piece of plastic. So we shouldn't become puffed up. But Ramachandrapuri became puffed up. So then Madhavendrapuri, the spiritual master, he left this world. And his disciples had to take up the roles of being spiritual leaders. Yeah. So Ramachandrapuri, he was not qualified, but he just thought, well, you know, he was a sannyasi actually. And sannyasi means, like was meant to mean, spiritual authority, senior. Spiritual person, generally sannyasis are older, materially, and they're always meant to be spiritually experienced and senior like that. So he thought, yes, I'm a sannyasi, I'm senior, I'm experienced. So I should now accept the role of instructor. What I should do, he thought, I will serve the devotees by correcting them. So he accepted this as his business in life. He would simply observe the devotees and try and see what is wrong. Aha. Yes. He became expert at seeing faults. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, said that Ramachandrapuri achieved nishta in criticism. Nishta There are different stages in devotional service, from very beginning to getting started, and then making a little progress but still a bit shaky, and then you become fixed, and then you can go on. There's some other stages and eventually you reach perfection. But along the route, you come to that point where you become basically fixed. Not perfect, but basically quite solid in your spiritual life. So, and that is called nishta. Nishta means steady or fixed. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said that Ramachandrapuri achieved nishta in criticism. In fact, he became so expert in finding faults, he could find faults which didn't even exist. This is a very advanced level. And you know, just one other little thing I forgot to mention. One disciple of Srila Prabhupada's who was very, very close to him, he told me, he was Prabhupada's personal servant on and off for some times. He told me every day Prabhupada would chastise him. And he said, sometimes Prabhupada would chastise me. But I knew, not just being proud, but I actually knew I had not actually done that thing. I'd actually not done it. But someone else had done it. Some wrong thing. So he said one day he decided to tell Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada, you know, you chastised me for doing this. But actually I didn't do it. It was... Yeah. And Prabhupada said, I know. And Prabhupada said, I'm just trying to stop your false ego getting the better of you. Anyway, that's sort of like insider type of information. So this Ramachandrapuri, he made it his business to go around and observe the devotees. What's wrong with you? There are a few things. We won't mention. Yeah. So he was moving around. Eventually he ended up at Jagannath Puri where Lord Chaitanya was staying. And he decided to sort of, so to speak, check out Lord Chaitanya. But before he did that, he decided to just check out some of the followers of Lord Chaitanya just to start tuning in to the scene. Lord Chaitanya's scene and his people. So one day he invited one of Lord Chaitanya's prominent associates, Jagadananda Pandit. He invited him for lunch. And he fed Jagadananda Pandit Jagannath Mahaprasada from the Jagannath deities. So he was feeding, serving nicely. Jagadananda was taking prasadam. It was all very nice. Until Jagadananda Pandit came to the point where he felt, okay, that's enough. Thank you. Very nice. Thank you very much, but that's sufficient. So when he did that, Ramachandrapuri became as if shocked, horrified. What? This is Jagannath Mahaprasadam. Are you refusing Jagannath Mahaprasadam? Are you refusing it? Oh, shame. I don't believe it. What sort of devotee are you? So poor Jagannanda Pandit, he felt very bad. Here's the senior person, because he's older. Ramachandrapuri is older, and he's a sannyasi. Here he is, on my case. So Jagadananda said, okay, I'll take some more. So took some more and some more until he could not take any more. That was just it. Finally, he reached that point, he was finished. And then Ramachandra Puri, he said to him, "So, I heard that the followers of Chaitanya eat too much. Today I have seen it with my own eyes." So he said, you couldn't win one way or the other. You couldn't win with Ramachandra Puri. He would find some fault, even if there was no fault. So then finally he turned his attention to Lord Chaitanya himself. And he would suddenly show up at Lord Chaitanya's place just at lunchtime. At that very moment, Lord Chaitanya was about to take his first mouthful. Ramachandra Puri would appear on the scene. And Lord Chaitanya, of course, would stop because Ramachandra Puri is senior. He is the godbrother of Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master, Ishvara Puri. So he is senior spiritually and materially. So he would invite Ramachandra Puri, "Please sit down, and we will serve you prasadam. We haven't actually taken anything yet, so you please sit down and we'll serve you." But Ramachandra Puri would say, no, it's okay. I just came for the association." And then he would sit and watch Lord Chaitanya. I don't know if he would take notes. One chapati. Two chapati. But he would observe, and you know what it's like. Anytime, if people are just staring at you. Just staring at you. Very pointedly. You know, you can feel it, and it's not nice. And you can imagine if you are eating, you're trying to eat, and someone is just staring at you. You know, they say, if an envious person watches you eat, you'll get indigestion. They're watching with a nasty attitude. So Lord Chaitanya was eating, and this Ramachandra Puri was watching very intently. But then he couldn't find any fault. He was disappointed. He came back the next day. Same thing. Couldn't find any fault. Came back a third day. Couldn't find any fault. Lord Chaitanya was not eating too much. Not eating the wrong things. Then finally, Ramachandra Puri sort of found something. He looked in the corner of Lord Chaitanya's room. There were a few ants moving around. Now, of course, we know ants, you know, maybe even particularly in India, but anywhere really, you get ants. And they just sort of move around here and there. But this Ramachandra Puri, when he saw the ants, he immediately made an assumption. Aha. He said, ants come where there are sweets. So there are ants here. This means that this Chaitanya has been eating sweets. And he is meant to be a sannyasi, and he is eating sweets. Oh no! How terrible! So he made a whole stir about it, and went around town talking about it. And it was true. So Lord Chaitanya He cut his eating in half. Maybe 1 or 2 weeks later, Ramachandra Puri came around again. Lord Chaitanya, by this time, had lost some weight, because he was only eating half. Normally he would eat just the right amount to maintain his health and his physical condition. But now he was eating half, so he had lost some weight. Ramachandra Puri came around again and saw Lord Chaitanya was looking a little slimmer. And he said to Lord Chaitanya, he said, Oh, what is this dry renunciation you are doing? This is not proper for sannyasis to starve themselves. This is not sannyasi dharma. Oh, shame, shame. So one way or the other, you couldn't win with Ramachandra Puri. So it's a long story actually. But eventually Ramachandra Puri moved on, and everyone in Jagannath Puri breathed a sigh of relief. And Lord Chaitanya went back to his normal eating habits and so on like that. But, you know, in terms of the lesson, In terms of the lesson, you know, there's a lesson there in principle. And, you know, the first part is that, first thing is, that first of all, we should appreciate the good qualities in other devotees. That's the first thing. Of course, you know, everyone other than the great, great devotees will have some shortcomings. That is just that's all there is to it. Some faults must be there, unless the person is perfect. And even if they are perfect, like Prabhupada or Lord Chaitanya, if someone is sort of envious enough, they will find something, some fault, even if there isn't a fault. You know, Prabhupada once was going to do a program in Paris, but there were some communist students there. It was at the Sorbonne or one of the universities in Paris. So Prabhupada came in and sat on a vyasasa. There are photos, actually, of Prabhupada on that vyasasa. And he was just about to begin when these communist students just jumped up and asked him, I mean, didn't ask him, they just screamed, why are you sitting on that seat? And this and that and so many things. And they created just, it became too much. And Prabhupada left the stage and the whole program was called off. Yeah. I mean, these people wouldn't stop. They wouldn't stop. So afterwards, Prabhupada went back to the temple and the devotees met with him and they apologized. And one devotee said, Prabhupada, I can't believe it. How could these people criticize you? It's terrible. How could they say things like that about you? And Prabhupada said that you shouldn't be surprised if people criticize me. When Krishna was here, they criticized him. So, you know, some people who are in that mood, they'll find something to criticize. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. They just will. So, yeah. So in terms of the lesson, we should know that first thing is to appreciate the good qualities of the devotees. There will be faults. There will be. But we shouldn't worry about those faults. The only time we should worry about the faults which are there, and really, you know, they may it may actually be important to make something of an issue of them, is if they become dangerous, particularly to that devotee. If they become dangerous, like if that devotee becomes offensive to other devotees and regularly is doing like that, then we may need to do something about it, actually, to help the devotee, either take the devotee aside ourselves or get some senior person to try and help that devotee, or, you know, if the devotee has a particular weakness, you may see the devotee smoking a cigarette, then, you know, you need to do something. But otherwise, if it's just, you know, some type of eccentricity or some sort of funny little thing which is not really doesn't really matter much, then we should tolerate. You know, one time one devotee wrote to Prabhupada criticizing another devotee, that this devotee does this and that and the other thing and so on and so on, and what to do. And Prabhupada wrote back, "You should tolerate him as I tolerate you." I mean, don't worry. You also, I mean, all of us, we should not worry. We also have some things which other people are tolerating or should tolerate. Don't worry. Yeah. So unless it really matters, unless it really makes a difference, then we should overlook these things and just try to appreciate the qualities. Prabhupada would say, try to be like the honeybee, always going for the sweet things, and not like the fly, always looking for the dirty things. An interesting experience I had the other day. Actually, I've had the same type of experience many times. I saw some food, prasadam, had fallen on the ground. And there were some ants. But they were not touching the prasadam because it was fresh. But then later, the same prasadam started to sort of, the process of decomposition started, and the ants were all over it. Yeah. It's interesting. Some beings, they're only attracted to things which are actually rotting. But when things are fresh and healthy, they won't touch it. Flies are like that, actually. Yes, so Prabhupada said, we should be like the honeybees and not like the flies, but only, you know, really sort of take note of some fault if it really matters, and then we shouldn't just go and chat about it to the others, but we should then try and do something, get something done about it. And if, you know, sometimes it happens, we can see this is a problem, actually. It is genuinely a problem. It's not just I'm being envious. This is a problem that another devotee has. And we may try to do something about it nicely. Try our best. But because it is too deeply rooted in the devotee, we may not be able to help them. And they may just carry on like that. You know, other than shoot them or something. You just got to live with it. So sometimes it's like that, and you just tolerate, and it's their problem, and if, you know, they somehow or other they fall down from Krishna consciousness as a result, well, at least you tried, but, you know, we cannot control other people. We cannot even control ourselves so much. So like this, we should learn this lesson. and really avoid being Ramachandrapuris or even little Ramachandrapuris. Because, you know, what happened to him? Well, he offended and offended and offended, and he became a Mayavadi. He became an actual Mayavadi in due course. So let me conclude by saying that, last point, and this is also a very important point, we should not now be sitting here thinking, Ramachandrapuri, or we don't like Ramachandrapuri. Ramachandrapuri is bad. Because Ramachandrapuri is actually a very special person. He is another person who descended from the spiritual world with a special mission of just doing these weird things. This was his mission, to be weird, in order to show something, so Lord Chaitanya could teach a lesson. And you know who he is in the spiritual world in Goloka Vrindavan? Ramachandrapuri is Jatila. Jatila is the mother-in-law of Radharani. And she is the original mother-in-law. If you know what I mean by that. In Western society, mothers-in-law have got a sort of reputation, I'm afraid. Yeah. So actually he's a very great personality. And he was only doing like that as part of his, like Arjuna was acting like he was bewildered and stupid, materialistic. But he was never bewildered or materialistic or stupid. So Ramachandrapuri is all part of the Leela of the Lord. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So there is some food for thought for all of us. So now it's 8:25, I'm sorry, we've gone over time. What do we do?